All right, let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these men that are here this morning. And Father, I pray that in succeeding Sunday mornings that we would have more here with us, Father. It is just good to study your word. And Father, it has been an encouragement and it's been edifying for me to just go through these lessons, and that's my wish for everybody that is here, Father, just to hear your word and to study it and to really, Father, it fulfills, you know, the reason, one of the reasons why we're here, and that's to be strengthened, to be edified, to be equipped. And so, Father, I just pray that you'd bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, first thing I just want to mention before we get started is I think, as everybody knows, you know, the Lord is moving me on. I've essentially already, I'm living out in Siloam now, and you know, I would say I will miss being here with you guys, with this church, every week. Other things I won't miss, I won't miss coming to a dead stop on the freeway. although it is a good time to get out and stretch your legs and meet others. You know, but I'm enjoying it out there, and just pray for me that I find a good church to go to out there. But I still will always have an enduring love and concern for our church here at Harvest Baptist, okay? So, and I still will be a member of this church for some time after I leave, which will be January 25th, will be my last day here, and until I find, you know, a new church home. And one thing, you know, that I want to encourage everybody to really just think and pray about is finding a way of, which I think most everybody here has, but sometimes, you know, challenges us in ways, you know, to step up into other areas. When Pastor, not long after he started here, he really kind of made a call for service. And I remember, you know, stepping up to that. And I started out by just tracking missionary correspondence. And, you know, it was my pleasure to do that. And I created a big, elaborate spreadsheet, you know, to do that. And Brother Mel has seen it. And, you know, so I track missionary correspondence. And then, you know, and I told Pastor, I said, look, you know, our church clerk, you know, sometimes the clerk can't be here, you know. So, you know, I've clerked at other churches, you know, if you need me to fill in or whatever. And our previous church clerk left, I think, rather abruptly. And Pastor, I remember Pastor coming up on a day that we had a meeting. And he said, well, you know, you said you'd step up, so here you go. And next thing you know, I was the average clerk, and then I, you know, was, I guess, formally ensconced as the church clerk, and then you know, then I've been teaching Sunday school, and it's been my pleasure and my privilege to teach Sunday school. I had filled in a little bit before, you know, when Enoch, I think, was out for you know, health reasons and whatnot, and did that for a few weeks, you know, and I had to assure Enoch I wasn't hijacking your Sunday school class, I'm just filling in. And so anyway, but what specifically I would like everybody's here, you know, to just think and pray about, you know, would the Lord have you to teach this class? Okay, because I will only be here up through the 25th this month. And maybe, you know, maybe it's a situation where more than one would do this. You know, maybe one individual take it for 1 month, another for, you know, another month. you know, or it could be done on a quarterly basis where we kind of rotate, you know. That can happen. Or, you know, you may feel like, you know what, the Lord is leading me to be the Sunday school teacher, and I just want to do it. And now, I will tell you, you know, maybe you've never taught a Sunday school class before. You know, maybe it seems a little bit intimidating, okay? But we have resources to help with that. So not every lesson that I've done historically here has been one that, you know, was derived through my own personal study, let's say. Like today's lesson will be that kind of lesson. But like this series that we had in 1 Peter, where, you know, we're really talking about the trial of your faith, you know, I had a lot of my preparation was done for me. There was, there's this book, Walking Through Fire, okay? And so a lot of my lessons came right out of this book. And then, of course, I added to it, and, you know, there were things I didn't use and things I added to it, and, you know, but this can really help if, you know, you're wanting to step into it, and Pastor has other books like this, okay? This is, by the way, this is what Enoch was using when he was here, and then I took over and I picked up in here where he left off, okay? And so, you know, this can make it a little bit easier. But nevertheless, you know, I think it was like I said on New Year's Eve, prayer is more important than preparation, okay? So even if you have this, every lesson, I guarantee you, was prayed over multiple times, even though I had this, okay? And I was praying too, you know, Lord, what can I add to this to make it even more meaningful to illustrate the truth that's being, you know, taught in there? Because some of the scripture that I gave you was not in here. Some of the illustrations were not in here. Quotes from like Spurgeon and others. you know, it's just, you know, what I did, you know, kind of on my own to kind of make it my own in a way. So I just want you to know that there are resources. And so think about it, but more importantly, pray about it and see how the Lord leads. All right, let's get started. So we're going to start anyway in 1 John chapter 5. So 1 John chapter 5, but there's going to be a few other places where we're going to go, and we'll kind of look at them together. I'm going to cheat a little bit because I've got all my scripture reading is actually in my notes, but I will give you time to turn there. So so we'll get to 1 John chapter 5 here in just a little bit. Now, most of you, you know, have probably figured out that I'm an avid reader. Okay, maybe, you know, yeah, and I like to read as many books, you know, that I've read as Kevin can attest to. He helped me move and helped, you know, he carried multiple boxes of very heavy boxes of books, and so many so that I actually got wore out just watching him carry all those books. Okay, that's, you know, so. Well, it, you know, thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate that. Yeah, that's right. They were so heavy, the boxes were getting tore up. And, yeah, and, you know, and I've, like I say, I've read lots of books and lots of research reports. You know, I read a lot from the Rand Corporation, for example, and one that I can remember was calculating the utility of attacks against ballistic missile transporter erector launchers, and I just thought that was so fascinating, you know. But as I've said before, I've never read any of these more than once, okay? I like them a lot, but I love this book, Okay, I love this book, and it is the book of books because its author is the King of Kings. Okay, but here's the thing: people in general think about this book. Okay, and I don't know if you've ever heard of the Patmos Initiative, but they recently completed their World Bible Attitudes Survey, which was conducted over a period of 3 years with over 91,000 participants in 5 different countries. Okay, so it's very comprehensive, and they came up with some interesting findings. So they found that in parts of Asia, more than half the population never even heard of the Bible. Can you imagine? Across the entire study, only 42 Christians, I think I'm blinking out, so we'll see. You know, the devil will find ways to stop me from speaking, but Brother John is at the ready, and we're just going to trade out devices. Okay, this was done almost seamlessly, as you can see. All right, and by the way, if you're thinking and praying about being a Sunday school teacher, things like that will happen, okay? And it's okay, all right? You just keep on charging forward. But anyway, across the entire study, they found that 42% of Christians report using the Bible weekly, only 42%. And nearly a third say that it has little personal relevance. And these are people who are nominally, you know, Christian. In Western countries, and this is no surprise, there's large segments of the population that are either indifferent or closed to the Bible. And I'll just kind of digress a little bit from the Patmos study. In 2022, the Gallup organization reported that only 20% of Americans now say that the Bible is the literal word of God. Okay, that is a record low. Meanwhile, a new high of 29% say that the Bible is a collection of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. Now, going back to the Patmos study, just one little note of encouragement, a glimmer of encouragement. The survey revealed that 70% of all respondents, regardless of their beliefs, agree that it is important and good for children to learn Bible stories. Now, think about that. And you know, when I read that, I thought, you know what, that really illustrates the importance of children's ministries, okay? I think, you know, Mike and Kitty are literally doing the Lord's work with these kids, and I've seen entire families reached with the gospel through the kids, okay? And when I was involved in, you know, children's ministries and teen ministries, you know, that was always my ultimate strategic objective, okay? Was to get the kids and then get mom and dad, all right? So now, you know, hear that, and I could have gone on and given you more grim statistics, okay? But let's consider or even contrast all of that with what we believe about the Bible, okay? Now, as you've heard me say before, and I'm sure you've probably heard others say this, the Bible literally is the holy, inspired, plenary, inerrant, and infallible word of the Almighty Living God. And as such, it is our supreme authority for all matters pertaining to faith and practice. So, but here's my question, okay? What does that really mean? And do we know what we believe, and do we believe what we know, and are we able to articulate this to others? Because you're going to talk to people, as you witness, that don't really have a clear understanding of the Bible. They may not accept its authority, okay? And so you're going to have to deal with that. And so, so these characteristics of the Bible that I just mentioned, I want to go through them. And that's, and this is going to be like a short series that we're going to do. And this morning, I'm going to start with holy. It's holiness. All right? And before I dive into that, I just want to say this. It is impossible to understand the holiness of this book without understanding and acknowledging the deity of Jesus Christ. Okay? You cannot fully understand the holiness of this book unless you understand the deity of Jesus Christ. To be holy means to be separated from sin or to be without sin. The Bible is holy because God is holy. Now, if you've turned to 1 John chapter 5, we'll look at verse 7. And here's what it says. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Notice, Word is capitalized. Okay? It is capitalized. So, who is the Word? Okay? Yes, Jesus Christ. And by the way, you know, when I've found myself talking to Jehovah's false witnesses or Mormons who reject the deity of Christ, 1 John 5, 7 is usually my starting point with them, okay? But I don't end there. I would invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Yep. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 first. So John, chapter 1, and it says, in the beginning, and I'll just stop right there, that in the beginning is very important. You're going to hear that several more times as I go through this. In the beginning was the Word, again, capitalized, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All right? And so now let's examine those verses even more closely. Okay? You know, if you remember way back when, I can't remember when it was, you know, I did a short series on biblical hermeneutics, okay? And, you know, part of a good hermeneutical process is to understand the context, but also even the grammar, okay? Even the grammar. And so when you look at verse 3, we'll kind of narrow in on that for just a moment. It says, all things were made by him. By is a preposition. Its object is him. Him is a pronoun, okay? A pronoun has an antecedent, something that it refers back to, okay? The antecedent of the pronoun him, which appears twice in this verse, is the subject of verse 1, which is the Word, okay? Now, in verse 2, let's kind of back up a little bit. We see the word same. The same was in the beginning. Same, it almost acts like a pronoun. Yes, Brother Mel. It is a personal pronoun. Absolutely. That's a good point. You know, it's a personal pronoun, so it's referring to a person, not a thing. In verse 2, the same, which is a demonstrative adjective, sometimes referred to as an identifying adjective, okay? And it modifies or identifies an implied noun. It's referring back to the Word in verse 1, okay? So, you cannot squeeze some other meaning out of the text without violating rules of grammar, for one thing, okay? And You know, if we, again, hermeneutics, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, if we look down at verse 14 of John chapter 1, what does it say? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And again, comparing Scripture with Scripture, you don't have to turn there necessarily, but Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Okay? So very clear on that. Now, Genesis 1:1, you don't need to turn there, but first three words of the Bible are in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And make no mistake about it, it was God acting through the second person of the Trinity. Charles Spurgeon said, "He who was born in Bethlehem was also the creator of the heavens and the earth." Okay? But for a more authoritative commentary, I would ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we'll get some more commentary about that. In Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Says this, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and here's the key phrase, by whom also he made the worlds. And then look down at verse 10 of that same chapter. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. And then, no need to turn there, but Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Okay? Jesus is God in the flesh. He was eternally existent along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we read this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice it says all. It doesn't say almost all. It doesn't say most. It doesn't say some. Okay, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Now again, to be holy is to be without sin. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21 makes this clear about Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, it says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, if you think God is concerned with his holiness in the Old Testament, you're absolutely right, okay? Consider the fact that holy, the word holy, is mentioned 431 times in the Old Testament, not counting the word holiness, by the way. And the Hebrew word, by the way, for holy is kodesh. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Pastor would probably know. But kodesh, which means apartness, sacredness, or separateness. Okay? The Greek word for holy or holiness is hagios. And its meaning is similar to kodesh in the Old Testament. Hagios means pure, morally blameless, or set apart. So the word holy is used in the New Testament 180 times. So this shows that God is holy, sacred, and set apart or separate from his creation. Now, I would ask you finally to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter, I know you probably thought we were done with 1 Peter, but nope, we're back there today. And because you know what, there is so much truth in God's word, you can't mine it all, okay? You'll never be able to do that. And so we return to 1 Peter in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Here's what it says. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay? Now, Peter, in that verse, was referring back to the Old Testament, and specifically, he was referring to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, where it says, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So the holiness of God, and therefore the holiness of the Bible, I will tell you, it's actually one of the most difficult of all of God's attributes to explain, okay? We can understand more readily God's love, although even that is unfathomable. We can understand his grace, but holiness is an attribute of God that we don't share with him, okay? Up in glory someday, but not now. We strive for it, but we don't share that with him. Although, it is important to note that a person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ has his own righteousness imputed to their account. So thank God for that, or otherwise we'd have no way to get to heaven. All right. So my time is running out, really. And so, gentlemen, I will just summarize everything I've said this way. The Word of God is holy because the Word himself is holy. Okay? So we'll leave it there, but we've got just a couple minutes if there's any questions, comments, or anything like that. All right. Well, I hope this has been a blessing to you. This is some truth that the world needs to hear. We're all ambassadors of Christ, so we're the ones who are going to convey this truth to everyone around us who needs to hear it. So let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word and for its holiness, Lord. And Father, we are staking our eternal destiny on what your word has to say, and we can do so with confidence because you are a holy God and you love us. And Father, we are thankful for your word. And now, Father, I pray that as your word is preached this morning, Father, that hearts and minds would be open to the preaching of your word. May the Holy Spirit be able to work in hearts and lives unhindered. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.